You're listening to Dwelling Place Church Podcast.
Destination. When we go on a detour, the enemy wants to go, see, God's not there anymore. He doesn't love you anymore. He doesn't have anything for you. If he did, how would you end up here? And see, here is different for everybody. You're here maybe you went through a divorce. Maybe you struggled with drugs. Maybe you had an abusive parent. Whatever it may be, and sometimes, and you're going to find in this story, it's because you didn't do anything wrong. God just put you on a detour. See, the Apostle Paul found himself in the middle of one of these circumstances. He was in a huge storm on a boat with 276 prisoners, and he did nothing wrong except preach the gospel. Now, how many in here have ever found yourself in a circumstance and you didn't do anything wrong? Have you ever went, God, where are you? See, Paul was in those circumstances. It says in Acts 27:20, the terrible storm raged for many days, blotting out the sun and the stars until at last all hope was gone. Now, I don't know about you, but when I get into a season or a trial that just keeps going on and on, I just go, is this ever going to end? Is it ever going to change? You know, I was talking to a friend of mine today in the book of Job. Anyone that's ever read the book of Job, and it talks about how in one day he lost his cattle, he lost all his wealth, his sons and daughters were killed, and eventually Satan even touched his body with sickness. So it talks about in the Bible that Job lived to be about 140 years old, but this friend of mine was telling me that that trial lasted, they believe, for about 9 months. But if you read Job, one of the things that he's famous for is that he never turned against God, but if you read a lot of Job, he says things like, I wished I'd never been born. Will I ever see good days again? Will I ever see the sun shine again? And the thing is that when you're in those moments, you think they're going to last forever, but 9 months out of 140 years, it's not too bad. And we don't realize sometimes in life that eventually God starts to shift things. So just at the moment that these guys that were on the boat with Paul thought all hope was gone, Paul had an answer from the Lord. You see, if you're a Christian here tonight, you always have an answer for someone else, or you have an answer for yourself. Acts 27:21-22 says, no one had eaten for a long time. Finally, Paul called the crew together and said, men, you should have listened to me in the first place and not left Crete. You would have avoided all this damage and loss, but take courage. None of you will lose your lives, even though the ship will go down. You know what I love about Paul? Even though he's frustrated because they didn't listen to him, he still has faith. You know, for some of you here that don't know this, my mother-in-law, who had stage 4 cancer a little over a year ago and struggled through it, had chemo and was many dark days, the one thing that I noticed with her, like I didn't even hardly see any frustration in her, but she always had faith. Even when she'd be laying on a couch and was sick with chemo and throwing up, she had such faith. And I always thought, man, how does she do it? But see, someone's always looking at us. Someone's looking at your life, whether it's your child. I have 2 daughters. They're always looking to see how I react to things. You ever have someone close to you when you mess up that's not a Christian? They go, I thought you were a Christian. Said a bad word, I thought you were a Christian. One time my daughter, I was trying to correct her, and I said, you need to do this. And she got really frustrated at me, and she goes, you're not acting in love, so you must not love God. And I go, I'm just telling you to do something. And she goes, but you're not acting in love. But you know what it made me realize? My kids are always watching me. As a Christian, we can say how much we love the Lord, but when you get into a trial and you're really tested, people start to see who you really are. I don't really want to break this news to you, but you're going to grow more in the tough seasons than you do in the good seasons. The good seasons are great. I think, in fact, my mother-in-law told me the other day, the mountaintops are great, but guess what? There's always another side of a hill. So you got to come down eventually to the valley so God can take you back up to the mountaintop again. So look at Paul's response in the following verses. For last night an angel of God, to whom I belong and whom I serve. Always remember those words as Christians. You belong to him. You serve him. Stood beside me and he said, don't be afraid, Paul, for you will surely stand trial before Caesar. What's more, God in his goodness had granted safety to everyone sailing with you. So take courage, for I believe God. It will be just as he said, but we will be shipwrecked on an island. Now, how'd you like to be those guys? Hey, guess what, guys? Everybody's going to live, but we're still going to have a shipwreck. You ever go, who in here is married? Or even if you dated someone, if you're young and you've dated someone, you ever notice when you first meet somebody, you can just talk forever. Like me and Suzanne, we've been married 16 years. And I remember we'd get on the phone and talk for like 2 or 3 hours or longer. I think the first time I talked to her, I actually sang to her on the phone. And I'm not a good singer. But the thing, though, that's interesting, I even joke about this. I said, like, the first time I touched her hand, it was like electricity. Like, did you feel that, Scott, with Judy? Yeah. And now I say it's like a rolling brownout. You know what I mean? Like electricity going a little bit. It's just a joke. It's just a joke. But you know what I mean? You ever notice when you're with someone for a long time, you start to take them for granted. You start to go, I don't feel like I used to. And I think it's our relationship with God also, especially if you go through a difficult time. You don't feel that passion, but you have to realize this. God's saying to Paul, you and I, this trial will not take you down because I have an even bigger trial awaiting you. Suzanne gave me this quote. You have to get your thoughts away from your feelings. Let me say that again. You have to get your thoughts away from your feelings. God says, my thoughts are not your thoughts. My ways are not your ways. How many women in here can get emotional? Men can get emotional too, by the way. How many women know that? Yeah. But when you get emotional, all of a sudden, you don't see things clearly. I got into an argument with my 7-year-old the other day. Very stupid thing to do because I started to act 7. How many of you has kids do that? Like she goes, you're acting like a baby. And I go, you are a baby. She goes, aren't you supposed to be my dad? And I go, but you're acting like a baby. And then I started to go, you know, this is probably not good parenting. Right? But when your emotions get in the way, I'll say to Suzanne, I'll go, you're just like your, I never say her mom. Actually, I never do say her mom, but I'll go, you're just like your dad. Because she is just like her dad. And her dad's written a book. He's my father-in-law, my pastor. We need to be praying for him, by the way. He's dealing with sickness. But when I get mad and my feelings get in the way, Cliff, I actually say things like this. I'm sorry I haven't written a book like your dad. And all the women said, oh, no. Has anyone ever done that? You ever pushed a button on someone you knew where you said something that you knew was really going to hurt? No. Oh, they're turning on me, Susan. Actually, I don't think I ever have compared her to you in any way because you're so sweet, special. You've never done anything wrong. So here's the thing. Why would God tell Paul to not be afraid? You still have to go before Caesar. Because here's the difference for Christians. In the kingdom of God, we're not moved by trials. We're strengthened by them. You hear me? How many people got sick in the last month? Anybody get sick? I was so sick last week. We had a birthday party for my daughter on Friday. I told Suzanne before the birthday party, I said, if I had a choice right now to be alive or dead, I'd rather be dead. Now, I really didn't want to die, but I felt like I was dying at the time. But what I realized with sickness or anything else, with any trial that you go through, it strengthens us. We know God doesn't make us sick. He doesn't put us, he doesn't cause suffering, but he uses suffering. And when you get through it, you ever notice when you go through a hard time, you get on the other side and you go, man, that really wasn't that bad. But when you're in the middle of it, you're like, I don't think I could have survived that. So here's the difference. The prisoners had what I call a voyage mentality. Paul had a destiny mentality. And you've heard the excuses before from a voyage mentality. It's always going to be this way. You remember the song from Doris Day? Que sera, sera. All the young people are like, I have no idea what you're talking about. Don't worry, I'm going to get to Taylor Swift's song a little bit later. But here's the thing. That's a voyage mentality. Or how about this one? I'm just like my mom, my dad, my uncle. I'm never going to change. You ever done that? So that you have this mentality that no matter what you do, Rayanne's here tonight with her mom, Kim. So what she can do is she can take the good things her mom shows her, because her mom always comes to church. Rayanne's been in church for many, many years. And she can feed that, or if something negative comes in her life, she can start going, well, doesn't matter what the Bible says. Doesn't matter if I show up. It is the way it is. But I know Rayanne. She just keeps showing up. See, and the more of God's word, the more of God's people you get around you, you know how to start speaking kingdom instead of speaking the world. So here's the destiny or kingdom mentality. You've all heard the verses, I can do all things through Jesus Christ that gives me the strength. Amen? How about, I'm just like my Father in heaven, I'm made in his image. How about 2018 will be a great year. Old things pass away, behold, all things are new. So you can hold on to what used to be. Listen, I'm 53. I'd love to be 35 again. It ain't going to happen. Me and my daughter were having this conversation tonight because she just turned 10. And we were driving to church, and I was like, 10? Like, where's 10 years went? And I even asked her, I said, did it seem fast to you? And she goes, yeah. And see, we're just kind of joking, and I said, you know, I would love to feel younger again, but it's not going to happen. I can feel strong spiritually. It says the outward person is perishing day by day. Your inward man's being renewed. So I can be stronger spiritually. But as you get older, you start to realize the outside's wearing out. But that's okay because I have to have a kingdom mentality going, I don't care how my body feels. I still have the Holy Spirit inside of me. Now let's get back to Paul's detour. Eventually the ship wrecked. It fell apart, but everyone made it safely to shore. You've been in one of those trials where, you know, eventually you land on a safe place and you're going, okay, it's all good. Right, Deanna? It's all good. Acts 28, 1 and 2. Once we were safe and on shore, we learned that we are on the island of Malta. The people of the island were very kind to us. It was cold and rainy, so they built a fire on the shore to welcome us. So finally, Paul has a break from the storm, a momentary time to rest. Now, anybody that was here on Sunday, my wife preached, and she talked about, yeah, she did a great job, didn't you? Let's give her a round of applause. And it wasn't 23 minutes in hell, it was 45 minutes in heaven. I had to do the 23 minutes in hell again, right? No? I can't use that again? Man, there's too many women here tonight. We need more men. Come on, men. All right, on a count of three, we got to get the men to say amen. I know you're scared right now, but that's all right. Don't even look like at a woman. One, two, three. Amen. Woo, that was good. Let's do that one more time. One, two, three. Amen. Yeah, that's good. You're going to pay a price later, but that was good. I like it. But Suzanne was telling a story about a year ago at Christmas, we had a leak in our roof. We eventually had a hole that was in our ceiling in our living room for 6 weeks. Anyone that's went through that, you know, and you have insulation blowing around. What she did tell you was 6 or 7 weeks prior to that, I've been a medical salesman for 18 years. I lost a contract and lost all of my income. that I'd had for 17 years. A couple weeks before that, we had just paid $40-something thousand in taxes. Then, in February of 2017, so this would have been 6 weeks after we had the leak in the roof, some of you may, I don't know if you know the story or not, but about 1:45 in the morning, we hear a loud, at first I thought it was my youngest daughter, but we heard a noise. So I get up and I'm walking around the bed and I said, "Hey, Suzanne, I think Cheyenne's up." So we get up, we get to the living room, and all of a sudden we see a bright light through our living room window, and we hear this, someone saying something, but we don't know what it is. Eventually we figured out they're saying, 1063 Ron Circle, our address, come out with your hands up. I'm like, do you do anything wrong? So we're like, you know, you're kind of startled. We had just woke up. So Suzanne, I mean, this is brilliant. She goes, let's call 911. So she calls 911, and the lady says, your husband needs to go out right now with his hands up. I mean, I'm like stunned. I'm like, man, I know I haven't done anything wrong. I promise, Lord, I haven't. I probably need to kneel down in front of Suzanne and go. But I mean, like, I was like, what is going on? So eventually, I go out. You can't see any. I could not tell it was the cops. You just see a bright light. And all I kept thinking, I was going, well, if I get shot, if I die, I guess I'm going to go to heaven, right? Probably, you know, that's pretty good. Yeah. So thank God our daughters never woke up. They ended up having me walk all the way out. I didn't know it was the cops until they had me turn around and they handcuffed me. So they handcuffed me. They take me to the back of the squad car. And there's, I think, four police officers there. There was two cop cars. There was a drug-sniffing dog. And we didn't realize until later we found out there was SWAT all over the neighborhood that was pointing guns at us as well. So they handcuff me, and they take me back to the back of the car, and they go, do you know what's going on? I go, I have no idea what's going on. And they said, were you inside your house threatening to kill your wife and your kids and demanding $10,000, and you're also using cocaine? And I said, I have no idea what you're talking about. And he said, is your name Steve? And I said, yeah. And he goes, well, we had a report of a Steve from this address, and also that you're a preacher. And I said, well, my mother and father-in-law are pastors of the Dwelling Place Church. I've preached there before, but, well, what ended up being the case, and they ended up bringing her out. Now, our girls are still asleep. They brought her out by gunpoint as well. As they're bringing her out, I think it dawned on this police officer something is drastically wrong here. The neighbor across the street, a teenage boy, had filed a false report saying that there's a guy that lives across the street from us. He's a preacher. He's on cocaine. And he's demanding $10,000 or he's going to kill his two kids. So the reason I bring it up is because, you know, when you're in the middle of a trial or a shipwreck, and some of you got much worse situations than that. But I had to think, through the whole thing, you know, I was scared, and then I was like, oh, well, I mean, what's the worst thing that could happen? I'd get shot, and I'd go to heaven. So we eventually find out that this kid did it. That night, we ended up going over to their house. I mean, they lived across the street from us for a while, but we really didn't know them. And when we went over, we talked to the parents. The kid come out. He apologized. He got kind of emotional. And then he went to church with us 2 days later. So the reason I say all this is because if you're in the middle of something right now, regardless of what your circumstances look like, know that God can change it. And the thing that I often forget, and I was saying it to my father-in-law today, that I have to remember that I'm a Christian first. So no matter what bad may happen to us as Christians, our response has to be Christ-like. And I don't always do that. Acts 28, 3 through 5. As Paul gathered an armful of sticks and was laying them on a fire, a poisonous snake, driven out by the heat, bit him on the hand. The people of the island saw it hanging from his hand and said to each other, a murderer, no doubt, though he escaped the sea, justice will not permit him to live. But Paul shook the snake off into the fire and was unharmed. Now, a snake's hanging on his hand. Now, think about this. Snake's hanging on his hand, and they're having a conversation going, you think he's a murderer? You think he did this? Like, Scott, you think sometimes people are like, you know why bad things are happening in Scott's life? Just not praying enough. You ever have anyone do that to you? You know, they're looking at Paul right now, and they're going, must have done something wrong. Got that snake on his hand. But see, I think the thing is once again, is Paul just shook it off. He just dropped it off of his hand. But they make a strange statement. Though he escaped the sea, justice will not permit him to live. One of the pagan gods on the island of Malta was a goddess called Justice. They thought she had the last say in Paul's life. But how many of us know Jesus Christ has the last say? So when the devil tries to convince you he is your judge, remind him that your king, Jesus Christ, crushed his head at the cross and shake that snake off. Remember, Taylor Swift? Shake it off. Shake it off. Is that how it goes? Wait a minute. I got to go back to these two young ladies back here because they're laughing at me. Can you sing Taylor Swift? Look, she's getting really embarrassed right now. That's all right. Oh, look, they're like, really? Like me? Oh, you want me to turn around? I'll come back this way. Am I embarrassing you guys? Yeah. All right. Tell me your name.
Amanda.
Yeah.
Barbara.
So the shake it off, how's it go? Does anyone know? Shake it off, shake it off. Do you know? No? Hey, everybody, just put your hand up. Say, shake it off. We're going to make it up. Shake it off. Hey, RJ, how you doing, my friend? Shake it off, my brother. Yeah. Anybody that's married knows sometimes you got to shake it off, you know? You got to say, it's not that bad. It's not that bad. Honey, you're looking very beautiful tonight. They just told me back there, I am never coming back to this church again. Here's an interesting side note, though. You know, I was talking about that Jesus, it says in Genesis that the head of the serpent would be crushed by the seed of the woman, which is Jesus Christ. I don't know if you know this or not, but where Jesus was crucified, it's called Calvary, but it's also called Golgotha, or place of the skull. Most theologians believe that when David cut off the head of Goliath, it says he took it to Jerusalem. Well, in Jerusalem, you couldn't have anything undefiled within the city limits, so they would have taken it out. Remember, Jesus was crucified outside the city. So when the cross went into the ground, just like God, the cross of Jesus, the heel of Jesus, went into the skull of Goliath. Goliath is a human representation of Satan. Remember when he said to the Israelites for 40 days, give me a man. Goliath means soothsayer, okay? False prophet. Give me a man, 40 days. Eventually David says, who are you, you unclean Philistine, to come against my Lord, against the armies of God? Then if you look at Jesus Christ, he spent 40 days fasting. Remember when Satan would say, hey, take these stones and turn to bread. What did Jesus say? It is written. So the reason I bring up this as a side note to you is because when you're in your trial and the soothsayer, Satan, is going, Scott, you're not going to make it. Scott and Judy's son had an accident a couple weeks ago, a car accident. Very devastating accident that miracles have happened. But how the enemy wants to go, he's not going to make it. He's never going to be the same again. But see, what I love about Scott and Judy, they just keep speaking life over the situation. Or Deanna, you're just not going to make it. I know you work out there at Heritage High School, but they don't need you no more. But see, that's soothsaying. That's a false prophet. So when you fill your mouth with the word of God, you're going to know that your God says, I can do all things through Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning, and the end. You guys about ready to land this puppy, as they call it? Land this puppy. You know, I used this thing on Sunday. I'd heard, actually. Anybody having any financial problems? I heard a guy say, when your money is funny and your change is strange. But we know how to protect that, right, Susan? Tithes and offerings. It's like a heavenly bank account. Acts 28:6, the people waited for him to swell up or suddenly drop dead. But when they had waited a long time and saw that he wasn't harmed, they changed their minds and decided he was a god. So he went from a murderer to a god. How fickle are people? At one moment, we lift somebody up. The next, we tear them down. Usually when a Christian needs you the most is when they've fallen. I know when I need people the most, even with my wife, usually when I'm at my lowest point, she lifts me up. I was at, Suzanne, come here for a minute. Just come here for a minute. I want you to tell them what I said to you last night as I was getting this sermon ready.
He told me that he was, I don't know if I have all this right, though. He basically told me that he was having a tough time and that he was confused in life and not sure where he should go and what he should do. And so I started laughing and asked him what his sermon title was.
Now think about that. I'm getting ready to preach a word for you guys. I know you're probably thinking, this dude is jacked up. But you know what? I am jacked up, but I know Jesus. So last night, literally, as 24 hours before preaching this, I'm going, man, I feel useless. I even wrote her a text yesterday from church as I'm helping do something at church saying, I feel so unsuccessful. And then I realized I was listening to the soothsayer. So what I did today, because I even had a rough night last night. Anybody have a rough night recently? I had a rough night last night. In the middle of the night going, I don't know, is things ever going to turn around? Yeah. You know, you stay up, kind of have that conversation with yourself. So what I did is I got up and I felt the Holy Spirit say, you need to call this friend of yours. Good friend of mine, very wise. I called him and we talked for like 45 minutes. When I got done talking to him, I felt like I could conquer the world. Because he was speaking life to me, and we even prayed at the end. So whenever you're going through difficult times, make sure that you have the right people around you, or the right people speaking into your life, and stand on God's word. Acts 28:7-10, and we're going to end it with this. Near the shore where we landed was an estate belonging to Publius, the chief official of the island. He welcomed us and treated us kindly for 3 days. As it happened, his father was ill with fever and dysentery. Paul went in and prayed for him, and laying his hands on him, he healed him. Then all the sick people on the island came and were healed. Amen? As a result, we were showered with honors, and when the time came to sail, people supplied us with everything we would need for the trip. Now think about this. Paul, when he's going to Malta, actually was meaning to go to Rome. A storm blew the ship off course, like way off course. So he ends up in Malta. And you think, that doesn't even make sense. But Paul turns it for good. Brings healing to this main guy, then brings healing. See, what you don't realize is when you got saved and when you walk in the things of God, you're bringing deliverance to people. You're a Moses, you're a Ruth, you're an Esther. Your testimony brings deliverance to people. Once again, Deanna works at Heritage High School. She can affect people. I cannot. Those two young ladies back there that may or may not come back to church again. But you guys can affect people. I can't. Cheyenne in the back. How old are you, Cheyenne? 14. See, she's got people around her I may never meet, but she can change their lives because she knows Jesus Christ. Did that just rhyme? She can change their life because she knows Jesus Christ. Oh, that's pretty good. You think a 53-year-old could drop a... I can't drop a song. I can't drop a rhyme, like drop a beat. No. I just can't. It's too much. I might break a hip. You know what I'm saying? So your detours will bring healing for others and keep you pointed towards your destiny. Here's the interesting thing about the meaning of the word Malta. It means a place of refuge, a safe haven. So even when you're in a detour, you're in God's hiding place. You're in God's safe haven. Right, RJ? Come on, RJ, say praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Come on, RJ, put your hand up. Anybody don't know, RJ's my buddy. Praise the Lord. Come on, RJ. You're looking sexy tonight, my friend. Isn't that great, though? So I don't care what you're going through right now. God has you in his hiding place. Here's the last verse right here. My mother-in-law don't know this, but I'm going to let her in the service. Oh, you can't? Are you sure? I think you can. Are you sure? You can't. Oh, you want me to get Suzanne to do it? Who wants my wife back up here for like a minute or two? Yeah, okay. Come on up, Suzanne. I'm just going to read this verse real quick. Isn't she lovely? Psalm 18:2, the Lord is my rock, my fortress, and my deliverer. My God is my rock in whom I take refuge, my shield and the horn of my salvation. He is my stronghold. He is your stronghold. Everybody give Jesus Christ a round of applause.